Yeah, some issues with it.
Well, I'm not interested in confidentiality because
you don't have to sign it. So it's like,
I have quite the opposite point of view. I'm public about everything. I'm largely the case that one should be public about everything, and that's what Web 2 is all about.
Yeah, it is. But yeah, a lot of organizations, some of the organizations that actually went in, they're a bit worried about that.
A lot of people are worried about it. A lot of people in TAFE are really worried about it. Honestly, you'd think the rest of the world was actually interested in what they have to say, but in reality is most people couldn't care less what you're doing. So why?
I think it's just a culture that you have to go around.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah. So anyways, first, like, I would like to know what's your job scope within TFSA?
My job is I call myself an e-learning facilitator.
Okay.
My role is to assist staff in internet and education. So I'm in professional development.
Okay.
With everything to do with e-learning. And I do that within, officially, TAFE Adelaide North. You might realise there are three different TAFE colleges.
It's a bit confusing sometimes. But
but I find it confusing too, because previously I had a statewide role.
Okay.
Similar job. But now I'm kind of quarantined into one third of TAFE. But because I had that previous experience of working with TAFE across the state, I still get contacted by everybody from all institutes, and I respond, and it's okay.
So
but
it's
officially I work for TAFE Adelaide North, but in practice I do a lot of work
for TAFE. Okay.
Yeah.
I spoke to a few other colleagues, deafers, deafers as well. So it's like, I was just wondering, like, what sort of Web 2.0 implementations that TAFE is actually doing within?
Well, if you think about TAFE as the formal organisation, then none.
Okay.
You might argue that we've just this year gone to the Windows live environment. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with this?
Yeah.
It certainly has elements of Web 2 stuff in it, and some people have begun to use that, but there's certainly no official promotion from TAFE from above that we will implement Web 2. I should qualify, I suppose, most of the Web 2 activity that's happening around the place is a bottom-up process that an individual lecturer...
So it's very informal. It's not official. It's recognised by the organisation.
And I suppose the most obvious example of it, and the one that I've been closely organised or closely associated with, is the use of Yammer.
Okay, yeah.
So you might know.
As a communication tool. I've heard that a lot of organisations are actually starting to use it. But... is there a lot? Is it popular among
it's very popular
employees?
I mean, how do you measure that? Well, we know that we've got 400 plus lecturers.
Okay, is it specific lecturers from a certain campus or it's throughout?
It's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
Which is one of the advantages of it, and one of the things that people have said. I finally feel connected to people throughout the organisation.
Okay.
And someone wrote, we did a short evaluation last year.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's something like, you know, in all my years of TAFE, I had never felt so connected to people in other campuses. Mm-hmm. It was someone from regional, and people in regional clearly they have.
Yeah, they're quite disconnected, I would say.
Yeah. So it's doing the job.
Okay.
And so there's an example of a Web 2 tool that just a couple of us decided we should use this. Mm-hmm. We set it up, used the free version.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like it's a TAFE tool because you actually have to use your email domain.
Email address,
so people think it's a TAFE-sponsored tool, but it's not. But it's been interesting because a lot of people in positions of influence in TAFE are now using it. For example, our three IT managers are using it. Two of them never say anything, but I know they're there and they're reading and they're watching. My manager reads, because he often refers to things that he sees in Yammer, but he never writes anything. So it's the same old thing with so much of social networking stuff. You've got that
just a small group of people creating development content.
And that graph, is it the long tail thing? It's classic. You've got 10 to 15 people, and that can change which 10 or 15 people that is or are. But we know, again, from that evaluation last year, a lot of people read it every day.
So, I mean, like, I know Yammer, like, it sends email updates when someone posts something. Is that one of the usual ways that you guys get new updates, or do you regularly log in to Yammer and look at the updates itself? Or
I think it gets used all the different ways. You don't get email updates automatically. Okay. You've got to set updates.
Yes.
I have it set so that, in fact, I don't get email updates. I get SMS updates for anybody that specifically mentions my name or replies to me.
Okay.
Otherwise, I mean, I've tried that before with Twitter, you know, getting Twitter on your phone. But these were the old phones. Even on my new phone, I should turn off. you can manage it better. But no, I principally mainly go to the... I open the web-based... I know a lot of people use Yammer Fox or the Windows equivalent. I mean, there's a generic one, so and that's where people have problems. I say, the Yammer desktop application isn't working anymore, and they approach IT, and IT has nothing to do with us.
Why is that?
Because it's not an officially TAFE sponsored tool.
But officially, it is being blocked. Is it that application?
It's not blocked.
Okay.
It works, but occasionally, I mean, it's technology, so there are issues sometimes. And so someone will put something on Yammer or write to me and say, can you help me fix this? Or they'll write to IT, and IT will say, it's not our responsibility. And it's not.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is that's a whole huge issue with this Web 2 stuff, which is one reason why organisations don't want to touch it, because you've got all these tools out there that are not endorsed, that you can't support.
But, I mean, like, you said that a lot of people are using Yammer. I mean, like, doesn't the top management feel that, oh, this is a tool that could be useful in the long run for a lot of people? Don't they see it that way, or is that something that you see that might interfere with the effectiveness of the employees within TAFE?
No, I mean, that's the good side. I mean, for the IT managers, for example, they recognise its value, so they're not stopping it, which is a first. I mean, the normal process, as I'm sure you are aware in organisations generally, was any Web 2 stuff, block it. So they haven't done that, and they've looked ahead at it, and I mean, as close as we've got to kind of a formal dialogue about it is that, you know, Yammer aren't silly. Yammer approached me and said, I see you're using Yammer in your organisation. I see it's growing. It seems to be very successful. Would you like to consider upgrading, of course, to the paid version?
Yeah.
And I looked at it and thought, I don't see the gains being significant, and the cost is significant.
Yeah.
So I took that to an official TAFE meeting, and we agreed that we'll just keep using it.
But for a free version of it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's unofficially supported in that sense, but if you rang IT and said, my Yammer desktop client isn't working anymore, they'll say, sorry, not our responsibility.
Okay.
And that would be the same with blogs, with Flickr, with any Web 2 tool. The response from IT would be, sorry.
So for all the tools, I mean, all Web 2.0 tools that's implemented within the organization, it's not officially recognized, even though they are being highly used by employees?
No. There might be one or two exceptions.
Okay.
And again, it depends on what you mean by officially recognized. I mean, do you consider Second Life to be a Web 2 tool?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, that comes down to definitions, but I'm not convinced that Second Life is a Web 2 tool, because I don't think it has the networking power that the other tools do. Mm-hmm. But anyway, there are pockets of use of Second Life within TAFE SA, and they are official because those people have had to apply to IT to open it up and support, and TAFE's bought an island.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So Second Life is officially supported.
Okay.
There are pockets of use of Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one that I discovered the other day here in Beauty out at Tea Tree Gully,
mm-hmm.
have given students permission to use their phones to post photographs of work they do in a salon,
yeah.
so they're photographing haircuts and hairstyles,
okay.
to a Facebook site,
mm-hmm.
which this program has set up.
Mm-hmm.
So beyond that program, who knows if
What's
anyone
up?
Knows about it, but mm-hmm. certainly the manager of that program has said, yeah, great idea, go for it. And now, see, I think that's happening a lot.
Yeah.
So it's local, and it's not sanctioned from above,
okay.
nor is it blocked from above.
So it's sort of like an open, like that's a question whether the management would be blocking it in the future. That's not going to happen. You don't see that happening soon.
I don't think they can anymore.
Okay.
I think there's been a shift with Web 2, with organisations like TAFE and
yeah.
the public in general.
Yeah.
I think the public...
Especially the SA government pushing for more usage of Web 2.0 as well, I think.
Yeah, they've accepted it's here
yeah.
and it's not going to go away.
Yeah.
So I think, although I was in Brisbane on Friday
mm-hmm.
and I was doing a presentation... And this guy says, but YouTube's blocked. So he still works in a TAFE college in Brisbane where
mm-hmm.
YouTube is blocked. That's becoming rare in TAFE.
Okay.
Usually now these pools are open. That's only been in the last 12 months.
Ah, so it's just been recently that
oh, yeah.
they just realised
oh,
about
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
That's quite interesting. Besides Yammer and also Facebook... What other initiatives that you think that is currently happening in the organisation, informally, that's happening, that you know of?
Well, I know there are a couple of examples of ESL, English
oh, okay.
Second Language
okay.
classes using Flickr
mm-hmm.
as a class photo stream.
Okay.
In a couple of cases, individuals have set up their own photo stream.
Mm-hmm.
And with the help of the teacher, they've been able to set up an RSS feed going into the Moodle class site.
Ah, okay.
And that probably is nothing more than a student sharing, you know, photographs
mm-hmm.
with the class on a regular basis. And so it's a social networking thing that's
mm-hmm.
probably not used as a point of instruction or anything
yeah.
to do with formal lessons, but
yeah.
at least it's students who've taken the opportunity to set
yeah.
it up so they understand how something like Flickr can work and they understand now what an RSS feed is.
Mm-hmm.
I know because there was a particular lecturer down with community services
mm-hmm.
at Port Adelaide
mm-hmm.
who was given the job of creating templates for Moodle,
okay.
which
yeah.
is our main
yeah.
learning management system. And she built RSS feeds into the templates. So there are a lot of community services courses
mm-hmm.
that have
RSS
feeds coming in by default, even if the lecturer doesn't know what they are or how they got there or... Some probably do and
okay.
probably use them. So that's something I know is happening. And then you've probably got to go to... it's always interesting to think about that distinction between what's happening among the teachers
mm-hmm.
as professional development
mm-hmm.
and what's happening between the teachers and the students
yeah.
and what are the students doing.
Yeah.
So we've been talking mostly, I suppose, about, the examples that I've just given are working examples of what students are doing in
mm-hmm.
classes with teachers.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, because of the way I work, of course, I'm connected to, I don't know, 6 to 10 people around TAFE SA, and we use everything. We use Yammer, we use Twitter, we use
mm-hmm.
Facebook, we use Flickr.
Mm-hmm. Is that that usage is around work itself, right? Like, or is it more for personal interests and, you know, just to make sure that you're connected to each other?
It's more that. Okay. It's more that we're connected to each other. And okay. as you probably know, once you start using these tools, mm-hmm. to start making a division between work and social is very really, difficult.
It's quite difficult, yeah.
So it starts out as a professional connection.
Mm-hmm.
And then before long, you know, my colleagues start sharing photographs of renovating their home.
Mm-hmm.
And that becomes a constant point of discussion.
Okay.
But it's very interesting that you'll come to work and the conversation will be professional.
Yeah, okay.
But online, after hours, there's all this social stuff going on, which is also sometimes professional. So it's both.
But like, that's quite interesting. Like you say that there's a shift that changes when you're at work and then when you're off work after hours. Do you think the management realizes that shift is happening? Why is that? Is that...
Well, I know it's not a particularly useful phrase in the context of research, but you know, I'm not the only one who uses this kind of phrase, because you hear it. You hear things like, they get it,
mm-hmm.
or they don't get it.
Okay.
And the majority of managers, in my opinion, don't get it. So what is the it?
Yeah.
It's that... Like so many things, you've got to use these things
mm-hmm. yeah.
to realise their power
yeah.
and understand how the world changes mm-hmm. and how your own approach changes.
Mm-hmm.
And until you do use them yourself, if you tell me about Web 2, it means nothing.
Unless you use it, yeah.
Yeah, which is why I think this is a bit of a side issue. I mean, when I've been asked and occasionally think about teaching, you know, mm-hmm. a short course in
yeah.
Web 2. I think that's almost an anomaly. You know, you can't teach Web 2. I can show you how to create a Facebook account, but mm-hmm. after that, you've just got to do it.
Yeah.
And until you do it, you're not really going to understand. So that's getting it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I think, it's true that it's not necessary. It's not a problem. It's just the fact is that most managers mm-hmm. in TAFE thus far are not Web 2 users. They don't appear to have an e-presence
mm-hmm.
after hours or an e-presence at all. And until they do it, and I'm sure they work hard and mm-hmm. do things after hours that they need to do, but
yeah.
they don't go down the Web 2 road.
Do you see like a particular trend between them, like why they're not using Web 2.0, or is it just because they're not interested, there's no interest from them, or...
Managers in particular?
Yeah.
That's an interesting question. Well, as always, it's a range of things, and
yeah.
let's go with some of the obvious. Age.
Yep. Okay.
Lack of skills.
Mm-hmm.
Lack of time.
Okay.
Because I think what needs to be acknowledged with going down the Web 2 path is it takes time.
Mm-hmm.
And as I always ask or, you know, say to people when I'm doing any professional development about something new,
mm-hmm.
I'll always ask them, okay, you've come to a workshop on this, and I assume then that you're interested in taking this up as part of your ongoing practice.
Yeah.
What are you going to stop doing to allow this... to allow room for this,
mm-hmm.
because you can't just keep piling
mm-hmm.
more and more on your professional life
yeah.
and stop sleeping.
Yeah.
So you know, in the context of managers, it's my personal opinion, I think they've got a shocking job. They've got a shocking job full of dreadful tasks, and there's mountains of them, meetings and bureaucratic stuff that, honestly, they don't have time. You'd have to be a very brave manager to
mm-hmm.
make way to work in a Web 2 sense
yeah.
because you would have to say, I'm not doing all this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then, well, I'd like to see a manager try that because maybe that would be an improvement. So age, lack of skills, lack of competence, lack of time. Well, they're probably it.
They're probably it.
And I don't know whether we should just blame the managers. Mm-hmm. I think that those same factors could be detailed or listed as the reasons why so many TAFE staff in general, because it's only idiots like me who get the bug and mm-hmm. decide to try it after hours, yeah. and then you see the benefits, and then, okay, the ball's rolling. You understand the benefits. Mm-hmm. You understand that, okay, life or social life and working life is now connected, mm-hmm. although they mesh. Mm-hmm. When you talk about that kind of thing to the average lecturer, that's the last thing they want. They want to go home, and that's it, thank you. Right.
Okay. So, I mean, when you're referring to the lecturers that sort of, you know, feel that they're not obligated to do the sort of work after hours, like, is that because they're in a specific course that sort of creates a lot of work for them, or they're just not motivated enough to use it?
I think the average TAFE lecturer who mm-hmm. does a good job mm-hmm. has to do a lot of things outside teaching.
Okay.
So there's the teaching commitment, which mm-hmm. is significant because it's usually 20 to 30 hours a week.
Yeah.
And it's a 35-hour week if you're a full-time yeah. lecturer. But it's, I don't know, let's say it's 20 to 24 is about normal for teaching. Mm-hmm. So there's preparation time.
Mm-hmm.
So already you're probably up to around 30 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And marking time. There'd be dealing... It's the same in so many teaching situations. Mm-hmm. There's dealing with all the incidental problems that students have in any given week. There's all the extra ones like accounting and mm-hmm. auditing.
Mm-hmm.
This accounting and auditing mm-hmm. culture that's now rampant in VET has just taken away whatever spare time people used to have. And I've been told many times in the mm-hmm. last 2 years, I don't have time for professional development. We're being audited next week.
Wow.
Right? Which I think is a really sad indictment of a culture that's lost the plot. Mm-hmm. So there's more emphasis now on being accounted or audited and getting all those presses right than there are in actually improving your teaching skills.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what a teacher thinks. That's what the system, that's the message that people are getting from the system, because the system no longer allows time for professional improvement. You're too busy covering your butt. And there are always new themes which are being kind of dropped on top of us, like, and the most recent one is sustainability, which mm-hmm. is a great thing, you know, to think yeah. about how you could be working in a way that's better for the environment. But mm-hmm. so
but that takes more time.
It's just an extra thing you've got to worry about. And, you know, things like mandatory notification. If you teach students under the age of 18, right? And there's just so much bureaucratic stuff that you have to answer to
mm-hmm.
that takes a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that sort of connects with what I was saying before. Just anecdotally, it was a friend at the University of South Australia, mm-hmm. McGill campus years
yeah.
ago, and he was complaining about very similar things, and he said, I just stopped doing them to see what would happen, just refusing to worry about all that bureaucratic stuff.
Okay.
And he said, guess what happened? Nothing. I had all this extra time. So that's the issue, I think, for the average TAFE lecturer. But, you know, balanced against that is, if you see it as having significant enough value, you make the time.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, throughout your experience in using Web 2.0 tools, you do see the benefits that could appear for other lecturers as well, right?
Sure.
But do you sometimes, like, when you meet them, you say, like, hey, maybe if you know that they have certain issues regarding in teaching or something that in managing their time or something, and maybe you could suggest, are you suggesting Web 2.0 tools to them as well to use?
Not as a solution to that problem.
Yeah.
I mean, there'll be other issues that a work team will mm-hmm. identify that
mm-hmm.
you know, usually to do with teaching or perhaps mm-hmm. communication, mm-hmm. then sure, I'll suggest Web 2 tools.
Okay. So, but do they take it? Like, do they like sort of say like, oh, I'll look into it, or probably try it out first themselves? Or that doesn't really happen, I assume.
I should know the answer to that, but I don't.
Okay.
My guess, and it would be a guess, is that there'd be some impact, that here and there, one or two individuals mm-hmm. will think, I'm going to try that and do it. But as a work team, mm-hmm. you know, a collective decision, as a direct result of some workshop that I gave or mm-hmm. something I've said, mm-hmm. I don't know.
So you don't see that, the results from that action? So.
No, and that's partly because how professional development, my sorts of activity I've been doing over the last, prior to this year, mm-hmm. is workshops with a spread of people from a number of teaching areas. And we've stopped running those because that's our impression that they have very little long-term gain.
Oh, okay.
Because the same kinds of people tend to come along all the time, and you'll just, didn't you come to this workshop last year? Yeah, but I haven't done anything yet. Right?
Okay.
And a number of reasons, which isn't really connected to Web 2, but... Mm-hmm. We've stopped doing that. We've decided we will work more strategically mm-hmm. with work teams. We will mm-hmm. approach work teams mm-hmm. and look at what issues they may have and suggest a professional development plan or program that addresses their needs. Mm-hmm. Working that way, you'd be a lot more able to identify the impact. And you're also working with people who... You're working with a collective or group that have invited you in. Mm-hmm. You're not just dealing with individuals who may or may not go off and do anything. Anyway, that's...
So those groups are mainly in the Adelaide North campuses, or is it throughout the whole...
Yeah, area? No, at the moment that's mostly Adelaide North.
Because I spoke to Marlene last week, and she was saying that Adelaide North Campus, I mean, the North side, is sort of very active doing it, but the ones in other campuses are not. Why is that, do you think? Because it's quite interesting. I mean, like, you all are within the same organization, but it's very fragmented. The usage is, you can sort of see the differences of usage in between the campuses. Why do you think that happened?
I'm tempted to think it's just historical accident.
Okay.
We were divided up into those three. Well, regional is a different story. Mm-hmm. The metropolitan area, I mean, it was the River Torrens, you know, was the division, north and south. If you were in this side, you went north. If you were on that side, you became part of Adelaide South. And it just happened that mm-hmm. most of the people who were active in e-learning within mm-hmm. TAFE at the time all fell on the northern side. Marlene, me, a number of us. It's just accident.
Okay. So there's no active users in the south side then?
Like? No, that's not true. And okay. I need to qualify what I just said.
Yep.
So that did happen, and it also coincided with a director that Adelaide North had mm-hmm. that was very active in supporting e-learning.
Okay.
And in the South, that it did not happen. I'm sure I know there are people in the Adelaide South and TAFE Regional mm-hmm. who are using e-learning and Web 2 tools. So probably not as much, but you know, I'd be hesitant to be definite about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So those people, they usually contact you for advice and
often.
Okay. So but I mean, like, in the other campuses, the South and also regional, they don't really see the benefit to sort of go up to someone high up in management in their campuses and say, like, you know, I've been using this tool, you know, it's quite beneficial if we sort of, like, you know, ask everyone else to maybe try using it and see how it works for them. Has that come up?
Well, that's happened in Second Life. With here.
Okay.
I mean, this is actually officially Adelaide South.
Yeah.
And there are a group here who are using Second Life, and that's exactly what happened.
Okay.
But that process that you just described,
mm-hmm.
which my wife always reminds me, what kind of person is going to do that?
Mm-hmm.
A very assertive, motivated, driven kind of lecturer,
mm-hmm.
because what you just described could be months of aggravation, debate, frustration.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of hoops, a lot of barriers to go through before you can actually make that happen. Is that what happened with the Second Life as well, before they actually managed to get it running? Was it a different situation?
It was slightly different in that they got external funding to run a project.
Okay.
So once you've got money, you have another piece of argument, you know, in your kit bag. You can go to a manager and say, well, we've been given $15,000 to explore mm-hmm. Second Life, but mm-hmm. we can't use it, so make it happen. And they will.
So there was external funding. Was that like from a government entity, or is it something?
It's from the Australian Flexible Learning Framework.
Ah, okay.
That Marlene may have mentioned.
Yep.
And they'll keep popping up as you talk to people.
Hmm. That's interesting. I mean, like, when there's outside resources, then only they allow the usage for certain tools to be to.
Well, that gives you the impetus
mm-hmm.
and the strength, if you like, to mm-hmm. go to the manager and say, mm-hmm. we need this.
So that's something I wanted to find out more about. Like, is that because of the work culture within the TFSA that it's sort of not nurturing the usage of new technologies among employees? Is that because of the work culture, or is
because
it
of the culture?
The work culture within it.
Really interesting question.
Yeah.
And you have to be careful not to make, you know, blanket statements because TAFE's a complex organisation.
Mm-hmm.
There are all kinds of people and different attitudes, but
maybe the main culture that you see that's happening, like,
well, see, at the formal level, at the public level,
mm-hmm.
there is an e-learning strategy, and people of influence will stand up and say, you know, you must do e-learning, and
mm-hmm.
you know, we promote and we encourage and
mm-hmm.
we support.
Mm-hmm.
But I've recently just gone through a process of a learning technology mentor program where we had 17 people across TAFE South Australia
mm-hmm.
work for a semester with me and each other.
Mm-hmm.
And frequent feedback was, everybody's interested in e-learning until something more important comes along, and then it gets pushed to the bottom of the pile.
Okay.
So it gets back to that stuff, the other commitments that
mm-hmm.
every lecturer has
mm-hmm.
around auditing and accounting just come first.
Mm-hmm.
So while in theory the public face of TAFE says, yeah, we support it, in reality there is no support when it comes to the crunch, because
mm-hmm.
these other things will always win.
Mm-hmm.
And that's quite a provocative thing to say. And I mean, I want to stand up in public and say that,
mm-hmm.
you know, this, because it's like there's an elephant in the room, you know, and the elephant in the room is that you guys are just kidding.
Mm-hmm.
It's all words. Where's the action? Right? So yeah, TAFE is a culture publicly says that we would support the use of new technologies,
mm-hmm.
but in practice
they
provide very little money, time and support to make that happen, which comes back to, you've got to do it after hours on your own.
Mm-hmm.
not exclusively, because that learning technology mentor program that I just mentioned, for example, was TAFE funded. Right, so there was a large amount of money spent on that program. Mm-hmm. So there are occasions when money is found and there is a very formal, sincere approach to giving people the opportunity to learn about new technologies. Mm-hmm. But that's the exception rather than the rule.
So in regards to that project that you just mentioned, like how do you choose? Are you part of the process of selection for each of the lecturers that was involved? Or was it sort of, you know, voluntarily they sort of come out like, you would like to join your project for one semester? How did that happen?
My task for this week is to write a report evaluating all of those sorts of questions.
Okay.
What happened was that we said that we wanted lecturers from, we have these things called clusters in TAFE.
Yep.
You know, for example, vocational preparation here and beauty and blah blah might be a cluster. Engineering and metal trades, and they're a cluster.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted a few lecturers from each cluster to take part in this program, so you know, the influence would be spread. Then we just handed over the selection process to the managers or relevant managers within those within those clusters.
Yes.
So I and our work team did not have a direct hand in who was selected.
Okay.
But in retrospect, we should have. Because some people who should have been selected for that program were not, and people who were selected, I mean, they knew nothing. Oh, they were interested. They were we were choosing mentors to help others start, and some people were chosen who they needed to be the mentoree, right? So that we've learned something there, and that was also reflected in the next step. So the mentors, once they were chosen, they had to choose 4 to 5 people to work with for a semester. And most of those choices were good ones, but there were some where, they didn't know how to save a file. Or, you know, this file management stuff. It was that basic.
Mm-hmm.
So we sit back now and think that the purpose of this program was to promote and encourage the growth of e-learning in the organisation. Do you spend money working with, you know, people who should be, you know, learning file management? No, you don't. So we also need to have a greater hand in selecting the mentorees. So we've just, you know, it was a pilot program, and so we've learnt. So the answer to your question is no, the process was out of our hands, but next time we will have a much closer.
So there's going to be another pilot?
We think so. That has to be, you know, go through the TAFE processes. It has to be evaluated and agreed, and that it's worth doing again. I think it will happen again.
So is there any positive results from the project that you've done? I mean, is there any sort of change that you see happening in the people who were chosen as mentors as well? I mean, do they start using Web 2.0 tools as part of their work now? Or you see an increase in interest level, perhaps?
For Web 2 tools, I mean, if you're looking at e-learning in general, there's a lot of very positive stuff that came out of it. Web 2 in particular, Second Life again featured because there were a couple of people who, that's where the mentoring context was. It was Second Life, so they are really happy with the progress they made. There were a number of cases where the mentoree was shown how to use wikis and are now using wikis with students.
Ah, okay.
Now, wikis are another one. Are they Web 2?
Yeah, they are.
What makes them Web 2?
because it allows collaboration to occur between the users. So it's sort of it is Web 2.0 technology.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It's just kind of
yeah.
So there were a couple of comments from people who said in reference to Web 2 that mm-hmm. I had no idea these tools existed. So it's just been wonderful to kind of to discover.
Okay, that's good.
So they're the results of that project mm-hmm. in relation to Web 2. But mm-hmm. the goal of that project was not specifically Web 2.
Mm-hmm.
But it does raise an interesting question
yeah.
that someone in my position
mm-hmm.
who lives the Web 2 life,
yeah.
I have a tendency when I am involved in facilitating a program like that
mm-hmm.
to just want to do it the Web 2 way because that to me makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
And my manager and the reality when I'm greeted with the people in the program just has to make me kind of pull right back and think it can only be a part of it.
Yeah.
Because they'll just be completely lost. So, and that's, it's a very interesting position to be in all the time. In, it's like, and it's
not.
It
must be difficult for you as well because like, you just want to go up to them and say like, use this tool, you should use this tool for
just
this.
Do it,
for
just bloody do it.
Yeah,
but
do you see the same trends, you know, the, like people who have no idea of what Web 2.0 is, that, does it occur with new employees or new lecturers that just came into the TFSA as well? Like, you know, when you get a new employee, I mean, new lecturers coming in, they'll be sort of lost, or do they know that these tools are useful for them as well, or do you see that trend shifting? Or
yeah, I'm happy to say I see the trend shifting.
Okay.
And it's fairly obviously associated with age,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
because just anecdotally, I mean, I've got a couple of examples where I would work with a work team, say, 3 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and they're just sitting there looking bored and confused and not interested.
Okay.
And I'll go back and speak to them last year,
mm-hmm.
and there are some new staff who are under 40,
mm-hmm.
and
who knew,
and they're just pumping me with questions. And so, what about if you do this, or we could do that, and then we could do that, right? So he doesn't know; they get it, right? They're already doing it.
Okay.
They hear it, they see the implications, and they're off and running.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there is a gradual shift, and I think that will be that. That's what will happen. Over time, you probably, well, you should be aware because the bigger context is, but it's not just TAFE, it's education in
yeah.
general. The average lecturer now, I think it's 55
yeah.
in TAFE. I'm average age. I've been since 46. Every year it goes up one.
Okay.
As I grow 1 year older, the average age of a TAFE lecturer, school teacher, university lecturer
mm-hmm.
is all in that same range.
Mm-hmm.
As all of those people move out of the workforce, and are replaced by younger teachers, lecturers,
yeah.
you will see just a natural uptake of Web 2.
Hmm. So you don't see that maybe certain, because of the work culture that they started in, like for example TAFE, when the new lecturers come in, you don't see that they're being influenced by the previous work culture that's here existing in TAFE.
I'm sure they are, but I can't comment on it. That'd be an interesting conversation to have with those younger lecturers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, could you give an example of maybe a few new lecturers that just came in and sort of asked a lot of questions about, you know, what they could do within TFSA with the Web 2.0 tools?
And who?
Yeah.
Community services, but that was regional.
Okay.
And, well, I think a better example of, again, it's Adelaide North, would be the woman I mentioned before, Hair and Beauty in Facebook.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So she's a new employee that I think so.
She's certainly new to me.
Okay.
Do you want me to check that?
Yeah, that'd be great.
It was community services regional. There were two or three new staff. This mm-hmm. was last year, who were doing that, just
asking questions.
Like I say, you don't need me. You get it. Yeah.
do you still keep in contact with them? Like even like this year, this one, do they keep asking questions in certain things?
No. No, the people who keep asking questions and stay in contact are the people who struggle.
Okay.
Of course.
But do you know what happened with those people in the regional? Have they actually used 2.0 successfully? Or
no, I don't. Which makes me feel guilty. But how about I check and let you know?
Yeah. Another thing that Marlene pointed out is that TAFE actually has a social media policy sort of thing on that, which is a bit difficult for me to find. I mean, like, I was just wondering, like, what is in the policy, I mean, like, that TAFE created or developed?
It's funny how all these things come together at once. A counsellor at Port Adelaide has been asked to write a set of guidelines for student use of social networking tools.
Okay.
And he wrote to me last week and said, could you give me some examples, or would you like, can we meet and, you know, mm-hmm. provide some, or just have a conversation about it?
Mm-hmm.
I wrote to Marlene on the weekend and mm-hmm. said, where's the social media policy in TAFE that was being drafted last year? And she wrote back and said, well, I don't, she gave me the details and I followed it up. I don't think it's official. I don't think it was ever finished.
Oh.
And I found a document that Marlene,
because she mentioned it last week and I was trying to look for it. It's
not out there. And what is also not out there is I've been, since this councillor asked me, I think Thursday, I've spent a couple of hours
mm-hmm.
trawling through Google for social networking guides, policies for students,
mm-hmm.
and they're not there. And if they are there, people are keeping them hidden, which makes no sense. So I don't think worldwide that they are there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there must be some, but it's sort of secure somewhere within your own internet system, I'm assuming. That's why you can't.
Which is ironic, isn't it, given what social networking is. The first thing you'd do if you developed a policy about social networking is share the bloody thing so everybody else could use it. But, you know, that's obviously the people writing social networking policies and guidelines are not Web 2 creatures,
mm-hmm.
because a Web 2 person wouldn't write a set of procedures about how to use Web 2 because it's like opposite.
So would you assume that policy, even though it's not made available online, it's sort of somewhere hard copied, kept somewhere in?
Well, I need to follow it up because it ministers to turn the last 24 hours. What happened to this document? Marlene and I both provided some feedback on mm-hmm. it. That was, I don't know, wasn't late last year. It was in the middle of last year. What happened to it? Where is it? So I don't know.
Oh, it's a bit. It's a bit odd that it hasn't been released. Or
oh no, it isn't, Heiko. It takes forever to get these things. I mean, some of them are. It can be 6-9 months for these things to before mm-hmm. they actually, you know, find a print form or are publicised, and then.
But it has been approved, I would assume.
I don't know. You're from UniSA?
Yes.
Does UniSA have one?
Social policy? Not quite. They're sort of looking into it, trying to get things done, but I think it's quite a slow process as well in UniSA, so it's sort of interesting, because like my research, I'm looking at other government organizations as well, and sort of like TAFE SA, sort of just, I just came to know about what TAFE SA is doing because I was interviewing a few people in the state government as well. So someone mentions like, oh, there's a few people in TAFE SA actually doing it. So it is, I mean, like, oh, in my experience, all of the organizations that I've interviewed, they do have a social media policy. It's either it's been released, it's just been released, or some organizations is just waiting for approval. So it's like, that's how I was just curious about what, because Marlene mentioned about last week that TAFE has a social policy, and now he's saying that it's not there. So, yeah, I was just a bit confused. And
well, it may be there, but I can't find it.
Yeah.
All I can find is the draft that I have on my PC.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I couldn't find it on any TAFE network or through searching any. So it's probably...
Do you know who was the person in charge of developing it?
Yeah, a guy called Paul Heck.
Oh, okay. Well, is he the counsellor that contacted him, or is it a totally different person?
He's a guy who was kind of commissioned to do this.
So he's an employee within TFSA?
Yeah. Or he might be sort of defeased.
Okay.
Which, I mean, we sit under them,
mm-hmm.
the wider department.
Hmm. So do you think it's because defeased is part of the government, sort of like a division of it, and I think they work close in hand with the minister... of education or something like that. So it's like, do you think it's because the policy is being still being in the process of being approved by the minister, or is it?
I hope so. I hope it just hasn't been forgotten. And, and I'm interested that, say, UniSA is in the same position.
Yes.
So maybe it's just that point in history now where organisations worldwide
are actually developing,
finalising the detail of their social media policy. Which would make sense because it's just been, I'd say, in the last 3 months, it's astounding now how often Web 2 stuff is mainstream news.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas I was, up until, well, for years I've been banging on about this has to become public knowledge, this has to be a public debate, because... Anyway, it's there. We are now having the public debate, and it's on television every night. It's in the advertising every day. And so formal organisations like UniSA and TAFE are now realising we've got to have one.
Yeah,
IBM have one. BBC have one. That's These are the ones that I were able to find. There was a university in the US that had one. Wasn't very good.
BBC, it's interesting, when you mentioned BBC and IBM, they're one of the first few companies that actually started realizing, you know, what social media tools or Web 2.0 tools can do for the organization. And they're doing it quite successfully, so it's a good example, I would say.
It is.
But in terms of higher education, I don't think, like you said, there's not a lot of examples that universities are actually, or even colleges, or like TAFE, for example, is not actually... Get it, they are doing it, but not there yet. Sort of, yeah. Let's say. Another thing is like besides all those tools. So those tools that you mentioned before, that's the only Web 2.0 tools that you know that are being implemented within TFSA.
Yeah, then when there might be pockets here and there of people doing one or two other things, but. I don't know of them, or I can't think of them.
Okay. Is there any other tools that you see being similarly used throughout, not just TAFE-SA, but other TAFEs as well in the state? As well?
Web 2
tools? Yeah, like for example, Yammer. Or is it just being used in TAFE-SA?
Yammer's been used by a vet organisation in Queensland, not TAFE. Box Hill TAFE in Melbourne have created a Twitter-like tool for use within the organisation. It seems to be... I mean, they have created the tool, and I'm sorry I can't remember the name. Box Hill TAFE.
But you have seen the application as well, or you've just heard it through?
I haven't really seen it. I've seen the link, the portal to it. It okay. sits on kind of the Box Hill virtual campus.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, I don't know. Is your research VET or Australia? Or
Australian organisations. I'm not focused on a specific field. So it's like I'm looking at all Australian organisations because I realise there's not a lot of organisations that are actually using Web 2.0 as part of their business or their organisation. So that's why I'm not limiting myself for that. So yeah.
I thought it was interesting that Box Hill had done that because just before... a few weeks before, I discovered that Purdue University in the US, they have created their own, which they call Hot Seat.
Mm-hmm.
And so some organizations have seen the benefit of this for working in class with students.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's going to be an interesting trend to watch. So you've got Web 2 tools that have a function,
mm-hmm.
but for understandable reasons, organisations are reluctant to use them because they're not endorsed, they sit outside their control,
mm-hmm.
they can't support them,
mm-hmm.
but no one denies the power of their function. So you get a university like Purdue who creates their own Twitter, in effect.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're going to see that more and more, that organisations will create a tool that does the same function.
Is that why Box Hill, I mean the campus in Box Hill sort of started developing their own Twitter-like application? Or do you think it's just because, you know, they have an interest in it? And
I just assumed that. Okay. I don't know that.
Okay. It's quite interesting.
Hmm.
So that is just created by that campus itself. I mean,
Box Hill is a kind of four or five campus organisation. Okay. So, but they've got their e-learning. It's well organised. It's well supported. They do have a management that leads, in my experience,
mm-hmm.
and doing interesting things. Other examples of Web 2 tools and other types. Sydney Institute, rather.
Yeah.
Huge users of Wikispaces. They have a vast Wikispaces site, so mm-hmm. every teaching area has their own.
Mm-hmm.
They have also done the same thing with Delicious. They've been able to kind of... Have you seen these examples?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Share bookmarks with
yeah, yeah, yeah.
For so, but that's mainly for teaching and purposes as well, right? It's like, or is it as used by employees' communication between each other?
No, well, I think it's
mainly for teaching then. It's like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, is social bookmarking used here as well in TAFE SA?
I'm sure it is by individuals,
mm-hmm.
but not on a formal system-wide way, no.
Like, have you ever thought of doing a semi or sort of informal gathering of people who are actually using these tools? Sort of like just getting their feedback on what sort of tools that they think might be beneficial for the organization, for TFSA.
Have I thought about it? Yes. Have we done it? No.
Why is that? Is it?
And this is where I start to feel guilty. When it comes down to time and whether or not I see sufficient value in it, mm-hmm. but this is a very personal point mm-hmm. of view. I mean, I have a lot of things to do.
Okay.
I meet my own personal needs through networking online, across the country and across the world.
Mm-hmm.
I don't I don't need to get together with my colleagues here in TAFE locally to have... I'm sure I would benefit. I'm sure I would learn and find out things that I don't know, but it's not something that I feel a need to do. But you're obviously asking that question with a, you know, regard to promoting effective use of a tool across the organisation. But that would be a very good idea.
But it's just not much time. I mean, that's not enough time for you to do that, actually.
Well, if it's significant enough, you make the time. So I have not made the time to do that, which leads to why not. I probably... I don't have a lot of faith in this organisation embracing that kind of approach. So yes, I could get together with, you know, what I might call enlightened colleagues and share what we're doing and put a proposal forward to you know, people higher up to implement this, but it would just be frustrating, take forever, and the answer is probably no. That may not be true. This is my own personal, maybe biased opinion. And
does that include the director, which is in the Adelaide North?
Who has recently resigned and moved into state.
Okay. So there's a new director there as well.
Yeah.
Do you know the director well? Or?
No, I don't.
Okay.
And even... this is a bit of an issue for me too, which I think is relevant, is that that director who has just left was wonderfully supported and had, and he's represented on national bodies to do with e-learning and flexible learning, so he knows what it is and he's a great supporter of it. But what we never saw from him or anyone else is that where's your e-presence in this organisation?
Okay.
He didn't have one. None of them do. They can't do it. They don't know how to do it. Right?
Okay. And have they actually asked, like, how to do it? Or sort of, like, it's just, you know...
I don't know, but they just don't. No one blogs. No one contributes to wikis. No one uses Yammer. You know, no one... there's no website. They just don't do it. I get back to what we're saying, and this leadership are doing it and get it. We're going to go nowhere. It will just be this trickling thing that's happening down the bottom. And look, that's not good or bad. That's just the way it is. And I'm not convinced that that is ever going to change.
So you think that's going to stay the same, pretty much?
This is based on absolutely nothing but, you know, professional hunch. And from observing these kinds of changes for over many years in education, I have this 60-40 rule. And if I was to bet, I would bet that Web 2 will be around... it'll be the way 40% of the organisation will function 5 to 10 years from now. 60% of the organisation, 60% of society will still not be doing it. And that's a wild guess. Yeah. I just don't... these things take a long, long time.
Yeah.
And even if you've got 40% of the TAFE teacher community and students using it, then that's huge. But there's always going to be... I mean, this is where you have to be careful of that whole idea of evangelism.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot of things that happen outside of the Web 2 world that are perfectly fine and wonderful and effective. Right? It's not the solution to the world's problems.
Yeah.
So I just think we always need to be careful to acknowledge there's a lot of things about organisations like TAFE that are working very well, that serve the needs of a great many people, and... you know, I can sit here and not TAFE about its inability to move things like Web 2 forward, but, you know. I was taken years ago when I read something about the Catholic Church. And the Catholic Church, their official policy is to stay, I can't remember exactly if there was a number, but let's call it 20 years.
Yeah.
They deliberately stay 20 years behind. where society is going, mm-hmm. because they don't see themselves as an organisation that should lead. They need, right? It's not their job to blaze trails and innovate. It's to kind of support
whatever that's happening.
Yeah, and I think you can make a case for organisations like TAFE being a bit the same. You don't want to go out there and, I don't know, I understand why you would sit back, mm-hmm. and just watch and come along behind. So that's, you know, just all in the context of, you know, how important is Web 2 and how big a role is it going to take in all our lives. But to go back to your question is why I wouldn't sit down with a bunch of colleagues, mm-hmm. you know, who are all using, say, Delicious, and let's establish this as a system-wide strategy.
Yeah.
I've been asking myself this question recently because my job is e-learning support, mm-hmm. and a lot of that is just hack work, you know?
Okay.
How do I put this up in Moodle? How do I add this assignment in Moodle? Mm-hmm. Right? Really just which buttons to click. Mm-hmm. But this is the stuff that the average lecturer needs all day, every day. And if you go to them with a whiz-bang proposal about how let's, you know, use social bookmarking,
yeah.
they don't even know how to put up a PDF in Moodle yet. So I have to balance my time, mm-hmm. against serving what I know are real needs on a daily basis of a lecturer, mm-hmm. or working towards some visionary thing, mm-hmm. that may or may not meet the needs of the majority of TAFE staff. And getting that balance right is tricky.
Yeah. I mean, like, essentially what I'm listening to is that there's no specific project, a project champion that sort of, you know, takes responsibility and say, like, you know, we should do this. I mean, we should gather people around to discuss what tools do you think is beneficial for the organization and just bring it up. There's no one that does that, right?
At the moment, yeah. No. We've had them in the past, mm-hmm. and obviously, you know.
What happened to them?
One of them got really sick and had to resign. And another one died.
Wow.
So it's the
bureaucracy, I mean, it's quite bad, then, I would say.
I mean, those people are few and far between. Mm-hmm. And, you know, life being what it is, no one's here forever.
Yeah.
So I don't think the bureaucracy, you know, didn't kill them or anything. It's just that... it's not relevant to Web 2, but in the whole, you know, wider context, is that what we haven't been able to do very well is that, so we've got someone who's a champion, and the ideal is if anything happens to that champion, you've got all these people underneath, mm-hmm. who can pick up and run with the vision, and we haven't done that very well. And I know there are people who, you know, they think of me in that same context. Mm-hmm. You know, what happens if anything happens to Michael? Who's going to do all of those things? And, you know, some of those things are not particularly visionary, but it does make me wonder. Again, this is very personal. Yeah. I know I could, if I wanted a very different and perhaps harder life, mm-hmm. I could try and turn this organisation upside down and just cause a whole lot of trouble. Yeah. Not really, but just actively promote innovation, mm-hmm. and the sorts of things you're talking, mm-hmm. about.
Mm-hmm. But I thought that, I mean, within a learning organisation such as TAFE SA, I mean, wouldn't innovation be something that the organisation would be pushing for?
Yes. But this comes back to, you know, what do you call innovation? Mm-hmm. I mean, there is innovation around that's got nothing to do with e-learning or Web 2.
Yeah.
So there's plenty of interesting things happening. So, yes.
But they don't see this sort of innovation when it involves certain technology. It's not that important for for an organisation to pursue.
Right. Like we said before, if other things which, you know, are bureaucratic needs or accounting and auditing and that stuff takes precedence.
Okay.
Now, whether that's that's how the average lecturer perceives it.
Yeah.
You know, innovation and doing interesting new things is fine until push comes to shove and basically get ready for the auditor. They'll be in on Wednesday. Right.
Before the whole lectures that have to do auditing and planning sort of thing. I mean, before that, the other thing it hasn't happened before. It wasn't pushed onto the lecture before, I assume, right?
No. The significant change. I mean, when I first came into TAFE, I assessed my class according to we had curriculum documents then, and I was trusted. Right. Okay. I gave those marks to the person who entered the data into the system. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
Now no one works with that freedom.
Okay.
So the amount of documenting you've got to do of what you teach, what day you teach it, to whom you taught it, what were the learning outcomes on that particular day, and what elements of competency.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just this ridiculous matrix of things that you have to keep track of, because an auditor can come in and say, I want to see the evidence that you passed Heikel on the 26th of June in this competency.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you've got to be able to produce that to that fine grained detail. Now, to me, that's insane.
Yeah.
This came about because there were lecturers in the system who were shonky.
Yeah.
You know, people were given qualifications that they should never have been given and went out into the workforce and were clearly not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I just keep coming back to this analogy with so much of what we do in modern life. It's like you keep the whole class in to punish the two kids who were naughty.
Yeah.
So the entire vet system has been redesigned to cater for this minority of, you know, poor lecturers, and so everybody now has to go through this incredibly tedious procedure, and they are all linked to training packages, and every 2 years you get a new training package. So everything you've designed to meet this ridiculous auditing procedure has to be redesigned
every 2 years.
It might be three, but it seems like it's every week to me, because I'm just, people are always, oh, we've got a new training package. I can't do any professional development this term. So, innovation, risk-taking, doing things new, the organisation supports and encourages, but there's an absolute, you've got innovation at this end and accounting and auditing at that end, and they just don't meet. They are different worlds, and they cannot coexist, because you can't do that with innovation.
Yeah.
Right? Well, you probably can, but the nature of innovation is you let the thing run free, you take risks, you don't measure, you don't know where it's going to go or what the output is. I mean, we don't allow it anymore. There's a wonderful book on this called Disrupting Class. Have you heard of it?
No, I haven't heard of it.
It's by Christensen.
Okay.
And he argues that education across the planet is in the same conundrum, and the only way that innovation and a change of education is going to happen in the sorts of things, the ways that we're talking about, you've got to create a new system.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to be put outside the existing structures, because it cannot happen inside the existing structure. It simply can't. It will never, ever work. So, and I agree with him. So why do I not get together with my colleagues at lunchtime?
It's because of that.
Because it's not going to go anywhere.
Okay.
I may be wrong. It's just too hard.
I think it's just difficult for someone to do it with the amount of time that they have. I mean, like, I would safely say, like, maybe half or maybe more than half a week in a week's time, and like the hours that you have is spent working and ensuring that the auditing and also the templates that you use for each is feasible or suitable for what the government needs, right, as well.
Mm.
So it's like, mm.
Just another point while I've got the floor here.
Yeah.
So this whole auditing procedure, while I understand where it came from and a need for something of like that, is indicative of something which education is doing and society is doing in general.
Mm-hmm.
The whole emphasis is now on looking back. It's about covering your butt to make sure you're not sued,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a qualification that we have in TAFE called the Teaching or Training Certificate in Training and Assessment, TAA. Okay. And someone I know started to look at that because they needed to improve their qualifications, and they just spent a few days looking at it,
mm-hmm.
and thought, this whole thing it's just looking back. It's all about what you've done. I'm not interested in looking back. I want to go forward,
yeah.
And that's the culture that we have in TAFE and VET, and I think it's now the culture we have in society. You don't look forward, you look behind you to make sure no one can see you.
Mm.
And I think this is an endemic problem with society at large. So, you know, interesting that happens at the same time as we've got Web 2
coming out,
bubbling up underneath, that wants to blow the whole thing apart, which is uncontrollable, kind of, you know, unauditable. It's Wild West. It's the individual versus the collective, totally transparent. Yeah. So it's very interesting that these things are happening in society at the same time.
But yeah, I mean, like, it's part of my research. I do see the trend that this two trends is colliding, and it's not going anywhere, pretty much.
No, but it's going to go somewhere, but...
Yeah, but it's not anytime soon, it's not going to go anywhere. But I do see, like when you talk about Web 2.0 tools, it's the younger generation is sort of, like, you know, going out there and saying, like, we want to use this technology, you know, no matter what you or the high management organization is saying, that we are using these tools, whether you like it or not. But then there's the other side of people who are saying, like, you know, you don't want to open up our doors for technology to come in, for these technologies to come in, because we have seen experiences from other organizations that has bad experiences of using it. But the thing is, when from my point of view, it's sort of like those experiences, it did happen, but because of something stupid that people did. So, but they're blaming it on the technology itself. They're not looking at the people who are actually making the mistakes, which is, I don't quite understand why, but yeah, I mean, since you put it that way, and it sort of makes sense, and saying that maybe society itself has sort of built that barrier, you know, sort of like, you know, just to make sure that they are covered, so that's why they keep looking back instead of looking forward. So yeah, that's a good point, actually.
We had a meeting last Friday about, and one of the issues was students, for these very reasons, are starting to bring their own laptops.
Yeah.
And it all boiled down to, does the student have to get the cord, which they use to pull into the PowerPoint, electrically checked and tagged before they use it on a TAFE campus?
Wait, so students are not allowed to bring their own laptop?
Well, yeah. This, right?
Yeah.
Now, the decision was they would be allowed, but they will be encouraged to go and get this done for themselves at an electrical contractor. That's as important. That's all they were concerned about. Not about what the educational ramifications were. It all came back to, did it have an electrical tag?
I don't know, I mean, like, when you mentioned that, I was sort of thinking maybe TFSA is more concerned about the electricity cost that's going to be increasing, since you mentioned that. that would sort of make more sense, instead of, you know, pointing out that, oh, is it, has this cable has been checked for its, you know, that it's safe or not. It doesn't make sense. But
they need to know, I mean, it's again, they need to know that, you know, a student has seen a piece of paper which says, if you bring your own laptop here and plug it in and your laptop blows up, we're not responsible.
Okay.
And there is, I mean, there's a guy called Gary Putland who works at Education AU.
Okay.
Do you know about Education AU?
No.
Well, they're now called... They've just changed their name. Anyway, if you do a search for Education AU, yep. it'll come up with their new name. Then, there are people within that organisation who have a wealth of knowledge about what's going on in education and technology across the country. Okay. And he was saying that we're fast approaching the day where, you know, students will be bringing in laptops and it'll be the same sort of process. You know, you're free to bring in your own laptop. You're free to do whatever you want on your laptop. You know, you can use Web 2 tools, use unendorsed, unsupported tools at your own risk. That it's not our responsibility to monitor what you're doing on your computer. And that's a perfectly sensible thing to do. In the school context, that same piece of paper would be signed by a parent. Okay. So, you know, if Johnny works out how to create a bomb while he's at school because he's been using, kind of, I don't know, wiki spaces to collaborate with terrorists, it's not the school's fault. And I think that that makes sense.
Yeah,
you don't block it, you don't stop it, you just understand that the level of responsibility moves to the student. And see, that's a key point in all of this, because I think what's going to happen, it is happening. In the old paradigm, TAFE or any educational organisation supplied all the technology that you needed. It went through this process of choosing products, endorsed them and supported them and gave them to students when they arrived. Now students are arriving at educational places like TAFE with their own set of tools that TAFE don't endorse. And that's just going to happen more and more. So TAFE, as an organisation, needs to be flexible about that, and policies need to be written so that...
But they're not doing it.
Well, no, not yet, but they're in the process of it, we think. They have probably haven't even thought about that yet. But and the organisation, culturally, technologically, needs to let go of the notion that you are supplying all the technology needs for your students and your staff, because you're not now, and you never will anymore. And that's not a problem. That's just the way it is. It's changed. But that's a big cultural shift. So that's the collective to the individual, and that's what Web 2 does. Of course, it shifts the emphasis away from the corporate or group. Formal culture,
more very informal,
to the, you know, the unwashed.
Okay, coming back to a sort of, I think it's sort of like the last question. So, coming back to the management and not supporting this sort of tools that are not endorsing it, like, and you mentioned saying that they, some of them or most of them haven't actually used what 2.0 tools as part of their work or sort of have an interest in using it. Do you think that if more, like, for example, students are using it or more lecturers are using it, do you think they would probably be interested in using it as well?
I think they're interested. I just don't think the majority of them have the skills or time. And I'm sure there are some who do. But I just don't see evidence of it in my daily life in TAFE. And I think that's an important point, because this stuff needs to be modelled. I mean, I think all the change management models will tell you that it, you know, it's got to be happening at both ends.
It can't just happen. But there's also, there's one organisation that, that I've interviewed as well. I mean, it's happening. That the interesting thing is, like, they have three levels of management. The first is the bottom level, and the middle and the top. The innovation or the technology usage is being used by both ends, except the middle part. The middle managers are not actually using it, and it's sort of like, I mean, like, for instance, they do have like a social media policy as well, but it was only released by the middle management, I think, like a year after it was developed. And like the bottom management, I mean the bottom people, didn't even realize they have a social policy until, like, they sort of contacted the higher management, bypassing the middle management, sort of like asking, do we have a policy on this? And they said, yeah, we developed it a year ago, and that's when they found out that the middle management is the one who's stopping it. Do you think there's those sort of same cultures what that's happening here in TFSA?
I don't know. I couldn't comment.
Okay.
It did remind, while you were talking, it just reminded me, again, the notion of a policy in relation to social networking is, again, there's a bit of a conflict there, because social networking is such a fluid, ever-changing thing, and policy kind of is an attempt to prescribe
and control it, yeah,
to a particular point and place in time. So I think
I'm just using the policy as an example.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, like,
but there was a school in New South Wales, and don't tell me for the name, because I never knew the name. It was just, you know, one of those bits of information that was floating around that you'd use as a wiki as the curriculum document. And they do it all in reverse. So at the end of the day or at the end of the week, the teachers go to the wiki and say, this is what we did. So there's no document that tells them what they have to do. The teachers, it's a reverse process. So that's a great use of Web 2. No, I don't know whether that same kind of thing would be happening in TAFE.
Okay. But so far from the experience, you're looking at that the top management sort of not supporting it as well, right?
They're supportive in name.
But not in practice.
Not in practice.
Okay.
Because there are too many things happening in the organisation, whereas a staff member mentioned, that was the quote, e-learning gets shunted to the back burner.